Hello, this is Arnett McEntee. I'm delighted to have you join us for Bible study time on the Family Bible Hour today. We are going to be looking at the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, the blessed third person of the glorious Trinity. How wonderful it is to know that the believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Our desire, each one would, I am sure, be to be filled with Him, to have Him in complete charge of every part of our being. Well, Boyd Nicholson's going to be speaking today about the Comforter, and I trust that your heart will indeed be comforted. This is our cassette 205, and Boyd gave this message originally on our program 1965. We're so thankful you've written requesting this, and it is my prayer that as now you take your Bible, your cassette, your study notes, and your notebook, that God's going to really bless you. We'd be delighted to hear from you from time to time to know how you're enjoying these cassettes that we make available without cost to our many listeners. So, do write us sometime, will you, in the future? Remember our address. It's Box 494, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, L2R6V9.
Thank you, Arnett. Shall we ask the Lord's blessing in our program today? Oh God, we thank Thee for the gift of Thy gracious Spirit, and we pray that we may know His enabling and the blessing He can give in our program today. We ask it, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory. Amen. Before the Lord Jesus returned to heaven, He told His disciples that He was not going to leave them as abandoned children. We read in John 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. This is a most remarkable fact of the Christian faith, that a real man, Jesus, who is Christ the Lord, the God-man, is seated on the throne of majesty in the heavens, and at the same time, God, the Holy Spirit, is resident on the earth, dwelling in the hearts of all who are believers in the Lord Jesus. In this day and age, there's a great deal of confusion and indeed false teaching abroad concerning this gracious person, the Holy Spirit. The errors arise through subjective interpretation of the Scripture, that is, basing our conviction and doctrine on subjective experience, and then going to the Bible to find a text to confirm that experience. Every error and heresy has grown out of that soil. The only safe and accurate way of interpreting Scripture is to go first to the Word of God and discover what God has to say, then base our convictions and experience on the doctrine of God. Of course, man has great difficulty in contemplating God. God is eternal and we are temporal. He is spiritual and we are material. He is immortal and we are subject to death. He is invisible and we are not. Then when we add the words Spirit of God, the difficulty is complicated for us. Mercifully, while we cannot find the Almighty by our own unaided senses, He has in His love and grace revealed Himself to us. God has revealed Himself as one God, yet threefold in the expression of that oneness being a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God manifest in three divine persons, three in one. So it is that God has revealed Himself in different ways and in different days. He's revealed Himself in His great creation and in the wonders of nature. He has revealed Himself in His law, and He has also revealed Himself in His great names. However, when we come to discover truth about the Holy Spirit, we find there are no personal names ascribed to Him in the Scriptures. Instead, His identity is revealed by some magnificent titles. There are three of these that seem to rise up in prominence. These are the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of life. The first, the Spirit of God, tells us what He is, His deity. He is God. The second, the Spirit of Christ, tells us who He is, His personality, relating to the persons of the Godhead. the Spirit of Life. This title tells us why he is resident on the earth. That has to do with his ministry. There are other titles, but they would seem to subscribe to these first three great titles, such as the Spirit of the Lord, the Eternal Spirit, and the Spirit of Glory. Now, these would seem to subscribe to the first title, the Spirit of God. He's called also the Spirit of His Son, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and these obviously associate with the second great title, the Spirit of Christ. Then there are a number of others, such as the Spirit of Grace, of Promise, of Adoption, of Truth, of Holiness, of Wisdom. These would point to that other great title, the Spirit of Life, and tell us of His activity relative to mankind. There are those who think of the Holy Spirit simply as an inanimate power and keep seeking for more of the Spirit as a special blessing. Such a thing, of course, is quite unscriptural, since the Spirit is a person, and we do not get more or less of a person. Indeed, the Scriptures clearly state that God does not give the Spirit by measure. Read that in John chapter 3 and verse 34. Many today pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and indeed make that the benchmark of their Christian lives and the test of others. Yet nowhere in all the Bible are we ever instructed by word or example to pray for this. Why not? Because the Lord Jesus promised the baptism of the Spirit in connection with the birth of the church. This is in fact what happened, and we read of this in Acts chapter 2. The individual believers were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the one body of the church. Now, when an individual is born from above through faith in Christ today, the Holy Spirit enters at that moment and takes up residence within, never ever to leave, as the Lord Jesus taught in John 14 and 16, thus securing them in eternal life, and they will never perish. At that moment, the believer is baptized into that one body of the church. We read this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This baptism is not the privilege of some special company of believers, but is the common experience of every believer in Christ. We are taught, however, that every Christian is to be filled with the Spirit, and this is an often repeated process. As we discover in the book of Acts, the disciples who were at Pentecost were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit then, but they needed to be filled again in chapter 4 and verse 31. But we never read of them ever being baptized again or ever seeking it. It was once and forever. The filling of the Spirit is also misunderstood by many, as evidenced by their prayers. This great blessing is essential for acceptable service for God. But contrary to the ideas of some, it is not a case of the individual getting more of the Spirit. God does not give more or less of a person, and the Holy Spirit is a person. It is, in fact, the Holy Spirit getting all of the individual who is filled. The filling of the Spirit is nowhere referred to in Scripture as to quantity, some having more or some less. But it is His authority He extends to fill and occupy all the territory of the believer's life that was purchased at Calvary by the precious blood. So that we might better understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the followers of Christ, the Lord in His Word has presented some symbols or emblems of the Spirit. These are God's object lessons, His pictures or illustrations, to help us grasp these great truths. We must be very careful, however, in interpreting symbols in case we use our own imagination instead of the illumination of Scripture. So we must see how God has referred to the symbols in question in the Bible, and in that way we are kept from error. There are 8 major symbols of the Holy Spirit: the oil, the water, and the fire, the dove, the earnest, and the wind, the seal, and the servant. Let's select just one or two of these as time permits, and see how they teach us about the ministry of the Spirit. The oil. In the Bible there was oil for consolation. We read in Psalm 23, He anointeth my head with oil. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Comforter, And he delights in this ministry of consoling and comforting the people of God. Then there was oil for illumination. We read in Exodus 25 and verse 6, oil for the light. The Holy Spirit gives illumination on the page of Scripture so that we may discover the truths that God would have us to know. The Lord Jesus spoke of this ministry of the Spirit in John 16 and verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. The Bible also teaches in 1 Corinthians 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Then there was oil for consecration. When the Old Testament priest was anointed to his holy office, so it is the work of the Holy Spirit to set apart for holy purposes all who come to Christ for salvation. It's the Holy Spirit who separates and fits men and women for the service of God. Without this work of the Spirit, no other qualifications will do, be they ever so wonderful, ever so honored and praised by men. Water, too, was a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. In the Bible, water was for cleansing. So we read in Titus 3, verse 5, about the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God applies the Word of God to the people of God, and they are cleansed from the defilement of the world by its contact day by day. There was water for refreshing also in the Bible, as a picture of the Holy Spirit. In John 4 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus talks about it. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now that's the input. Then he speaks about water for others. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his inward part shall flow rivers of living water. Now that's the outflow. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Fire, too, is another picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, the Holy Spirit is pictured as a sevenfold flame of fire. There was fire for worship in the Old Testament. There was fire on the altar. And that relates to worship. And so, in the New Testament, we discover that we cannot worship God without the Holy Spirit. Many people each week go through the motions of religious service and they call it worship. But worship is not preaching to people. It is ministering to the heart of God. How far away from the clear instruction of Scripture has Christendom gone with all their rituals and ceremonials, leaving the Holy Spirit out of what they call worship. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, being guided by God as they followed a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So it's the present ministry of the Holy Spirit to provide guidance for all believers in Christ as they pass through their pilgrimage to heaven. By these God-given pictures of the oil, the water, and the fire, we can see the divine instruction given to us concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. For the unbeliever, however, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is different. It is one of conviction of sin. The Lord Jesus spoke of this in John 16, verse 8 and 11. When He, the Spirit, is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The great sin of man is not believing on Christ. Because of this sin persisted in until death, people will perish. The only righteousness God will accept is the righteousness of a risen Christ. The judgment of the disobedient is sure, since their leader, the devil, is already judged, and his followers will not escape. Dear listener, if you're not saved, through faith in Christ, you are without Christ, without eternal life, and without the indwelling Holy Spirit. Worse than this, you're resisting the ministry of the Spirit, which, if you persist in, your rejection of the Spirit's ministry will cause you to perish forever. Oh, thank God for the patient suffering, long suffering of the Holy Spirit so often refused. Let me conclude by the warning of God so long ago. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh God, our Father, we thank thee for the gift of thy gracious Spirit, for his comforting, for his convicting, illuminating, guiding, and intercession ministries. We do bless thee and pray that thy word will be effective in all our lives, just as we need it most. We pray it for the glory and in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.